After studying church history for the last year, I came to a conclusion. There's no reason the Catholic Church should still exist. There's no reason why people should continue to participate in the Catholic Church. Let me give you a sense of what I mean. For the first 300 years of church history, the church was under so much persecution that it went underground, and nearly thousands of people died as martyrs in the early church. And yet, it still survived. Once it became legal in the 4th century, from the 4th to the 10th century, it did not get better. The church became very lax and people stopped caring. It got so bad by the 9th and 10th century, we have some of the worst popes in history who are given horrible titles and names because of how bad they were. And yet, the church still moved on. Trying to reform itself in the 11th, 12th, and 13th century, it kind of succeeded. It got a little further, but it was not enough, to the point where people were still disgruntled. They're still mad. They still wanted something more. So that by the 16th century, we have the Protestant Revolution, which fractured the church into so many different parts. In the course of a century, there was tons of different churches. People now had a choice. They could go to lots of different places, the first time ever in history. And yet, the church still persisted. Then we get to the modern era. In our modern era, it's even more surprising that anyone's here right now. Because think of it, everything's more flashy than what we do. We don't have the best music out there. We don't have billboards and signs and flashy lights that keep your attention. We don't have anything that's as enticing as the rest of the stuff in the world. And yet you're still here. The church still persists. The latest report from the state shows that the Catholic Church is still the number one denomination in this state, at 30% people declaring themselves Catholic. So we persist. Why? Why is this church still around? Why does it still exist? I argue the primary reason is the Eucharist. Throughout time and history, that seemingly piece of bread has captivated more people and drawn more people to the church and specifically to Mass than anything else. There's something about that, something about experiencing Jesus' body and blood that so drew people, that enamored them, enticed them for centuries. What it is it soul speaking to soul. It's the soul of Jesus speaking to our souls. It's his heart speaking to our heart. It's him coming into us and giving us life, refreshing our souls. Even if we can't have the right language to describe it, even if we don't know quite what we're talking about and use words like host and wafer and stuff like that, there's still something deep within us that draws us here because we know that. We know we've experienced God. We know we've come to know him. We've known that he speaks to us in a way that nothing else has. Earlier today, as we were getting ready to leave for the first Mass in White Sulphur, I was delayed by a guy who came to my door. He was actually talking to Deacon Kyle for a while, and he wanted to come to the church. He'd been looking for God and couldn't find him. He didn't know where to look anymore. And as I was walking in with him, he said, "Although I've been looking for God, I know he's here." Imagine if we had that kind of faith, the faith to know that God is truly here, the faith to believe that in such a way that we'd want to come here. This is what we already have, and I want to make that point clear to you. The way we get there is through reverence of the Eucharist, to come to enliven that part of our faith again. And so I have some tips for you on how to enliven your faith again. I realize there's another point I want to make, so I want to go back a step. I wanted to have you experience what the early church experienced with the celebration of the Eucharist, how vital it was for them, and then to inspire you. We have records from the 4th century of early Christians gathering around the vessel that held the consecrated bread that was designed for the sick. Why would they gather around it? There's only one reason they would gather around it, because they knew that that was God. They knew that they could be close to him in a way that nothing else worked. So they gathered around because they desired so much to be close to God. They didn't want to leave him. They wanted to hear his voice. So they gathered around the consecrated bread because they experienced God in that. As we head to the 12th and 13th century, we get to an age in the church in which people really stopped receiving communion. They never felt worthy enough. And because of that, the desire burned within them to experience Jesus again in the Blessed Sacrament. So what they do is they'd ask the priest to hold up his hands even longer during the consecration. You know, that moment where I hold up the consecrated bread so you can see this is no longer bread, but Jesus' flesh. No longer wine, but his blood. So they wanted it longer and longer to the point where the priest got tired. His hands are up there so long. So they developed a practice called Eucharistic Adoration, where they'd freeze that moment of the Mass and allow people to spend time before our Eucharistic Lord. They so desired communion with him that even spiritual communion was enough. Even the desire to gaze upon him, to wander into the mystery, to see him present before us, gave them the vitality and the energy to persevere through the challenges of their time and recognize God's presence with them. So how do we grow in our reverence for the Eucharist? How does that burn within us like it has for centuries of Christians? The first step is we have to realize it's already in us. We already desire that. We already want it. We already believe that. And so we have to reform our language and our way of living more than it is what we believe. If we believe that, what do we do in response to it? How do we grow that desire? Well, know it. Use the right language. This isn't bread and wine. It's Jesus' body and blood. We don't come here for some wafer. I can go to the store and buy tons of wafers. I don't come here for a wafer. I don't spend an hour of my time just thinking I'm going to get some sort of bread. We come here for something very specific. Second, how do you hold the Eucharist? What do you do when you come forward? If this is God's body and blood, how do we touch it? How do we hold it? What do we do with it? Do we flip it around in our hands? Do we have a place set aside for it? How do we treat it with reverence when we get the chance to touch it or let it into our bodies? Third, this is the prime place to experience God. He's here physically present before us in the tabernacle. We can come here whenever we want. And today you'll have a very special opportunity that I'm going to expose the Blessed Sacrament for an extended period of time after Mass, that you may stay and pray, that you may speak soul to soul, that you may speak heart to heart with our God, that you may tell him the cares of your life, maybe listen to his voice, maybe come to realize his presence here with us. Please do take that opportunity to spend some time with him after we finish our procession. And lastly, we have to realize who we are. We don't just come here thinking, yay, God's here. When he enters our bodies, we become like a tabernacle, like the one up there. That golden box holds the body and blood of Jesus during the rest of the week. We become like that, so that when we leave, we don't just kind of hang off and do the rest of our lives and that kind of stuff. We become ways that the rest of the world gets to experience our God. We become a moment where they glimpse that God is present with us. This is what we believe. This is what's so profound about the Eucharist. Not just that it's here, but God is physically present before us in signs. He is physically present before us in ourselves as we come to recognize his presence in us. Let us live that anew. Let us be inspired and excited. We have God with us. We can speak to him as he nourishes us. He strengthens our souls. He gives us refreshment. And he encourages us forward that we may be his hands and feet to the world, so that people may see him through us.